Call the House Health, Education, and Social Services Committee to order, and it is 3:42, and it is April 17th, and those present are Representative Fairclough, Representative Newman, Representative Gardner, Representative Seaton, Representative Roses, and myself, Wilson, and Representative Cisna is at the front because we have we have Senate Bill, a Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 4, Public Health and Health Compact, and that is Senator Betty Davis's bill. But Representative Cisna also has the House version of the same bill. So we are going to have the committee substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution 4 before us, and we are ready for, well, first of all, let me introduce a few more people here, I guess. Our secretary is Kelly Burnett, our moderator is Rob Sylvester, and our Hess aide is Becky Rooney. So now we will get down to business, and we only have one bill. Representative Newman?
I was just going to ask, Madam Chair, you said we all on bills, so we're going to like hear them consecutive because they're both...
Right. They're basically the same thing.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And we're in the House member has said that she would rather have the Senate bill moved because it's been further along. So that's what we're going to do. So I will let the two of you present the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Don Burrell, representing Senator Betty Davis on the Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 4. The Health Compact encourages all Alaskans to do three things. Number one, make healthy choices. Two, promote their own health and well-being. Number three, share their experiences and ideas on better health with one another. Alaska faces a multi-layered health crisis of growing proportion. An aging population is growing at a time when the ranks of our physicians are shrinking. The cost of medical care continues to rise as the number of uninsured Alaskans grows. The legislature will continue to work to assist in achieving better health for every man, woman, and child in the state. Yet, there are things that we as individual Alaskans can do to improve our own health, thereby minimizing our impact on the healthcare system. We put forth, as a small step, this simple tool to help Alaskans help themselves. The resolution also dedicates the remainder of 2007 as a time to join the compact, and dedicates 2008 as a year for sharing ideas and taking action. The cost is free, but the rewards are priceless. And at this point, I believe I will turn it over to Representative Cisna.
Thank you very much. For the record, my name is Sharon Cisna, and I'm a legislator in the State House, and serve on this committee and the Health and Social Services Finance Subcommittee, as so many others in the body do here. And what we all know is that our problems are huge and our resources are diminishing, and that and what many of us are learning through the different conferences that we've gone to, the different people we've talked to, that in fact most of our health problems are choices. They're the behaviors people have chosen. And yet we also know from behavioral experts that you can't pay enough money to get people to change their habits. The only way that people really change their habits is by choice, and oftentimes by the support and the relationships that they have with other people. And it's almost impossible to buy those relationships for people. You can't do that. So this is an experiment. It is truly an experiment. And it's really, I believe, taking, being somewhat opportunistic, I guess, in that we certainly all have influence, but our governor has that much more. And this becomes an invitation from her and from us to the people of Alaska to begin to do the work that it takes to change habits by relating with each other, by celebrating their own personal health, by looking at health differently, not by feeling as if they must, but by seeing how much fun it is, by seeing that this is, in fact, a better way for us to be Alaskans. And I think there's other testimony today that's going to talk about what could be done really from this body. But I believe sometimes the most profound changes come from simple things. And I'm hopeful that this simple thing of inviting people to join with us in celebrating health and talking about things that make us feel better will actually help them to feel better as well.
Any questions from the committee? Representative Gardner.
Thank you. I have a couple of questions about the whereases, and it's not that I have any opposition to them. I'm just sort of curious. One of them is the state ranks second in the nation in per capita public health costs, and I'm sort of curious which is the most, who beats us?
You know what, I don't remember that. Actually, this was written 2 years ago, I think. And so actually, oops, sorry.
Okay. And for the chair, thank you. In the second, whereas, state residents rank poorly in rates of obesity and lack of physical activity compared to the states. I'm a little bit surprised about that because I think Alaska has a lot of very active people as well. So I just sort of,
if you look at the, and I don't have that backup with me, but I have looked a number of times at the charts that are showing the growth of obesity across the nation, and of course, as a good Alaskan, I always look at the little one of Alaska, and it is steadily marching across the nation, and we were slow to come on to growing overweight and obesity. First of all, it was of course being more and more percentage being overweight, but now we're strongly into obesity, and a lot, and some of that is rural areas where more TV, more sedentary activity, and I think everybody's eating more and more sugar, more and more high fat. You know, there's just a number of, it's habits, uh-huh. And that's more of this.
Thank you. Representative Roses.
Thank you very much. First of all, in first looking at this, it becomes in some ways a statement of the obvious, that we all know this. And in some ways, this becomes what appears to be, you know, a feel-good reaction to some very serious issues. But the question that I would have would be, if the intent is to create a pact, the Alaska Health Pact, so that we can then share information to get to some long-term benefits to where we can diminish some of these statistics, I guess the question I would have would be, why do we need the whereases that aren't talking about what the issues are, but we're talking about how we respond to those issues? In other words, we rank second in the state. The demand is financially costly, treatment is rising. And the fact that the state has a high rate of uninsured, and the fact that the number of insured residents don't speak English. How do those relate to the fact that up here where you're talking about diabetes, alcohol, tobacco, heart disease, and so on, that's what you want to share. We're not in here sharing the other stuff. My concern is this, and let me tell you why I oppose that. We're identifying what I consider to be potential areas where the state may be deemed to be deficient in terms of what they provide to address these concerns. We have just recently, and we're still going through because we haven't gotten a decision yet, an adequacy lawsuit against the state for not providing what's deemed to be sufficient funding for education. Does this not, if we pass this resolution, set the state up for some of the social services and healthcare industries to come back and sue the state because we have stated ourselves we're not doing what we should be doing?
In every single one of these resolutions, it's public information, so we already did. We've already set ourselves up. If in fact this could do it, we've already done it. We publish these things. I mean, a lot of this stuff is reported by the state, so I think we already did it. And in terms of things like aging, and they're not comparable things in some ways. It's not a list of apples or oranges. It's a list of a bunch of different things. The language, the fact that it's hard for people to get information because of speaking different languages. That all has to do with the fact that so much of your behavioral change is dependent upon the information you get. And if you speak a language other than English, the people who are going to tell you are the people who speak your language. And that's one of the reasons why that's one of the very small pieces, but it's an important piece. It's relationships that will help you change your habits. And your relationships are most likely to come in the language that you happen to speak. So if people who speak Yupik, or if people speak Spanish, or if people speak other language, and I'm all of a sudden I can't remember a single language in the planet, but you know how that is. Those people are going to be the people who are going to help you, the people who speak the language you speak. This does that. You can't pay for it. We can't afford to have translators in the way that we need to have translators. If we were going to try to do what this seeks, and it's up high in the sky, absolutely, but if we could achieve it, we couldn't do it through money. And this, having each other change the culture of discussion and having health suddenly be a more fun thing to talk about than the weather, having something that you have in common. You have a health in common with every single person in this state. We all have that. That's one of the very common things we're all experts in. And if we make that one of the most favored conversation topics in the state, we would change habits, because it's relationships and it's the building richer networks, making friends. If in fact you discover that you have something in common with someone, it does strengthen the friendships. It does mean that you maybe have more to talk about with that person. And we could maybe change the culture of this state through this. And that's I don't know, I've thought about it for years now, trying to figure out, how do we save the world? In behavioral health, I think it's by trying to get people to feel closer with each other, to feel friendlier, to feel as if maybe they're not the only person that feels a certain way, that there are other people that feel that way, that other people have the same problem you have. And if we can make health be that kind of conversation topic, I think we go there.
Representative Roses.
Please, thank you. I'm not arguing about a single thing you said. All I'm saying is, how does it diminish this resolution and the intent of the resolution with the last statement further resolved that the health pact, you'll encourage individuals and you'll encourage voluntary commitment from every Alaskan to take pride in their health choices made to promote personal health and well-being, and each Alaskan is encouraged to share their thoughts. How does removing a statement that says, whereas the demand for financing costly treatment continues to rise and spending for less costly, more effective preventative health measures is decreasing, how does that change my ability to go to a group and talk about diabetes or heart disease or smoking or alcohol abuse or mental illness or any of the other concerns that we have around the health care, why do we have to have a statement there talking about whether we spend or didn't spend money? How does that change the resolution? How does it change the resolution that we're ranked second in the nation per capita? And how does it change the resolution if we say that whereas the high number of uninsured residents speak another language? Why can't we just say those, you know, we want to encourage everybody whether they speak the same language or not? It's the financial obligation and the financial diminishment that's addressed in this resolution that's causing me the concern. Not the conversations, encouragement about heart disease and smoking and all the other health care factors. I don't have any problem getting together to talk about that. Where I'm having a problem is that we're tying all of these financial costs that the state is obligated to included in this resolution when you're just trying to get people together to have a conversation about health care and best practices. I think we're setting ourselves up for some very serious potential problems. We passed a resolution saying we support all this, and then the minute we don't pass a bill that's connected to treating or adding money to these various things, we're going against the very resolution that we just passed. That's my concern.
Don, I would love to.
Don, do you have any comments on this?
Maybe we can get a reaction from the commissioner.
You know, the fact of the matter is, I honestly think, I mean, I think of all the resolutions we've passed, and I.
Assistant.
Yes?
I'm just.
Oh, that's right. Representative Sisna right here. I think I actually have not ever heard a resolution really creating a firestorm. And I agree with you that we could have said nothing but those last two paragraphs. Absolutely. We didn't need to. However, the fact of the matter is probably the biggest problem we have in this state is health. And this is a way to remind people that it is a huge problem and that there is, in fact, maybe a light at the end of this tunnel. And we haven't seen many lights when we've been talking about health care. It's been a real hard time. But we maybe have a fix here that is a simple fix and a really simple fix. And so it is light at the end of what is a dark tunnel to a huge number of people I've talked to outside of this building.
Representative Newman, would you like to have some questions now, or should I have the commissioner come up? It's your...
Actually, you were reading my mind, Madam Chair. You know, if I may speak for just a minute. I had some of the same questions that Representative Roses has had, but we're fortunate to have the commissioner sitting right here, too, to maybe talk about some of that. I was going to suggest that to the chair, but again, I would like to state that Representative Sisna is known throughout this legislature, this body, as somebody who's really been out there in the front of health care issues, and I'd like to recognize her for that first. Knows much more about it and spent much more time on the issue than I have ever thought I could do. But I am concerned in the fact that I don't want to set the state up, you know, for a bad situation, but I think we have a lot of whereas. Every whereas in here is kind of a negative whereas. You mentioned a little bit of the light at the end of the tunnel, and I think that the state is doing some good also. I think that maybe we should maybe try and recognize that, maybe with the balances of the two, maybe we could resolve some of the issues. But, Madam Chair.
Sorry, yes.
I think that you were exactly right. I was going to ask maybe if we could ask the commissioner that question.
All right. Okay. Commissioner, do you want to come forward and...
She gets to do it.
For the record, Carlene Jackson, Commissioner for the Department of Health and Social Services. Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you to the committee members, and especially thank you to Representative Sisna and Senator Davis, because this, I think the concept you're trying to get at, as Representative Newman said, is, and the passion that you've put into it is really important to the people of Alaska. And I also have wrestled with some of the issues that Representative Roses raised, and I've also wrestled with the beginning where the resolution says relating to public health and a health compact. And as I was listening to you speak, Representative Sisna, I wondered if we missed a whereas, in that in the beginning what you talked about is something along the lines of whereas good health is a common goal for all people in our state, and we don't really say that anywhere. Maybe if we started with that and then simply went to the a second whereas, that whereas experts point to personal lifestyle choices as having a significant impact on a person's health, and then got right into the be it resolved, we would get to the meat of what you're trying to do without having to quibble about what the statistics are at any particular point in time.
Doesn't matter to me.
That would be my 2 cents. I agree that part of my heartburn, and I know my public health folks would say this, is when we say things like, whereas health experts point to personal lifestyle choices as the greatest indicator, they're going to say, show me where it says that. Where's the backup and the footnote? And so I think we need to be really careful to either use factual information and statistics or keep it at the more broad conceptual level, and then we can know what we're signing on to. So I apologize for rambling. I've been wrestling with this, and I again really support the concept of promoting health for Alaskans and having us talk about what we're doing to be healthy, but I would hope that we could do something that would really get to the heart of what you're trying to get at.
Representative Faircloth.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This may have been better asked of Representative Cisna, but I'm wondering if we're absolutely, she can sit there, or she can answer from maybe where she's at with the chair's indulgence, but I'm wondering if the time frame on this was a question that I had in 2008, bringing it up so quickly. I'm wondering if we've had an opportunity with working with groups across the state of Alaska to really make it a health compact and a health year. This is the year polar. What's a help me out?
It's, polar year.
This is polar year. If we're going to declare a year a health year, then I'm wondering what kind of organizational efforts have we had throughout the state to talk about some significant events like health fairs, like coordinating inside of all of our school districts, inside of their health curriculum with teachers across the state to do a couple key events. Next year is going to be Alaska celebrations for its 50th birthday, basically. And I would hate to see something as vital as looking at community health be overshadowed by a celebration of statehood. And so I know that health needs to be an issue today, and it should have been an issue yesterday. But I support the resolution. I support what the commissioner has said. But again, I'm looking at if Senator Davis and Representative Cisna really want to make it a year of health, that working with this committee and with the Senate committee, that we might be able to organize through the state with our nonprofit partners, with our municipalities and cities, and do a broader effort to reach out with public service messages, with many things that I'm wondering whether 6 months will have enough time to do. And the only reason I say that is because it is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. I've been part of a planning process for reaching out to a city of 265,000, and it takes us almost 6 months to coordinate with 10 different entities to try to bring that to fruition for 1 month of activities that that are very important for awareness. And I'm just wondering, and maybe that's not what the intent of this resolution is, but I'm sorry, I always go down the grand side of things. If I'm going to invest time in something, I want it to be very meaningful, and I want it to be a splash, not just a ripple on the ocean. And maybe I'm overstepping my bounds, and if I am, I apologize. I just believe in what you're trying to put forward. I want it to be successful, and I'd like it to be a splash in Alaska and not a ripple. So with that, I'll yield.
Representative Cisna.
I'd love to respond to that, Madam Chair. I think my age is going to probably speak here. I was an activist back in the 60s and 70s, back when we didn't have a lot of government, we didn't have a lot of grants, you did things without that. We started things from nowhere and made them happen. And I still have a real bias on doing things without a lot of money that has, because the minute money comes to you, you have requirements that you didn't make. And the idea behind this is it's an invitation given by the governor, and we did talk to the governor, and the governor appeared to understand and look forward to being able to give that that invitation. It doesn't have one penny,
And the minute you have the "we should do this," then you suddenly create the need for there to be some people in the state that's their job, and that's a fiscal note. This bill, when it was read across, the speaker had a finance committee of referral. And I had to point out that it didn't cost a penny. This is merely an invitation. And in the different groups that I've talked to, they certainly, in many of them, there's some that don't get it, but there's a huge number of people that do. I think the minute you make it a program, the minute you have fiscal requirements, then funding will stop. People forget. We're changing culture. I don't think you change culture with a state program or grants. I think it changes because people want to do it willingly, and it's their own choice.
Representative Faircloth?
Thank you. Maybe I wasn't clear. I wasn't asking for the state to contribute dollars, nor was I asking for it to be a grant. But if you want to consider something something for a year to dedicate that to, I think there should be some coordination, and that was my point. I don't care if it's my staff and my own staff doing it for the state of Alaska on our nickel as far as what I pay them to do for me as a state representative. I'm not asking the state or anyone. I want to invite everyone to the table. And my point was, if you do something in 6 months, it may be very a successful ripple that becomes a tidal wave if enough people jump on. My only thought was that more planning time is beneficial to offer the invitation and sort of save the date so more people can come to the table, and if they should come to the table with resources for public opinion messages or for however you might want that change to happen, that they could do that. But I wasn't trying to attach a fiscal note, nor was I asking anyone to participate unwillingly.
Madam Chair, I think maybe...
Representative Sisson?
Thank you. I think maybe, Representative Faircloth, you maybe have looked at a previous bill. This bill, Senate Bill 4, Senate Concurrent Resolution 4, does not have a date, a time. I think, as a matter of fact, the Senate sponsor had that in her sponsor statement, but it does not say that in the bill.
Well, I did read the sponsor statement, so
yeah,
that's true, and H.R. 1, so.
That was, yeah, and that was, the resolution has been changed since then.
I have a question for you, Commissioner. The governor is doing a health care commission, or council that they're going to be doing things and then coming back, you know, they're just going to be, I don't know what they're going to do, to be honest, but whatever they're going to do, it's all kinds of health things. And they're going to come back with us in January and give us some recommendations. Does this make a difference at all? I don't know. I'm just asking.
Madam Chair, what the Health Care Strategies Council is charged with is looking at what plans are already out there around health care, what's missing, and what strategies can be recommended to the governor and the legislature, both short and long term, to be sure we've got an effective health care system that balances quality of care, access to care, and cost of care. That's their charge, and to do all that by the end of December, which is an ambitious charge.
Better hurry up and
go ahead then. I know. So, yeah, I could see it happening a couple of ways. I could see this being passed with out a timeline, without a program, without a fanfare, as a statement of we're encouraging Alaskans to talk about health because we all want to be healthy, and folks like the Health Care Council saying we sign on to that as a good concept. Or I could see it as the Health Care Strategies Council coming back and saying we need to expand on this kind of an idea to have a year of focus on promoting health. I could see it going a couple different ways.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner, put the rubber to the road here. Do you think that this resolution could be used in any way against the state in a lawsuit to try and force the state to put more money into health and social services?
Through the chair, Representative Newman, I have to start by saying I'm not an attorney, And so I don't have the expertise to analyze it in that way. But I do have to say that listening to Representative Rose's concerns, that raised for me a red flag that hadn't been there before, because there are a lot of people out there that are very litigious right now around health care issues, and I think Certificate of Need program is a good example of that. So sometimes when we're trying to do the right thing, we can have unintended consequences, and I wouldn't want that to happen. So if there's a way to frame the resolution so that that doesn't happen, that would probably be our best course of action.
Representative Roses.
Thank you. One of the questions I have, and it may be the commissioner, it may be the bill, either of the bill sponsors, but again, I don't disagree, and I completely agree with the fact that we need to have these conversations, we need to have these discussions. But where, if you number the whereases, you know, 1, 2, 3, just going down and number the whereases, understand why you need one, understand why you need two. What I don't understand is how does number three help me perpetuate the conversations about heart disease, diabetes, exercise, all of the other, tobacco, alcohol abuse? How does that help me get to having people to have conversations about an Alaska Health Pact? It's a statistic. It's not a health care issue. Same thing with number four, when we talk about demand for financially costly treatment continues to rise. That's a statistic. How does that help us have a conversation about diabetes and drug abuse? How does that help? Same thing with number five. State has a high rate of uninsured residents who often cannot afford health insurance or health care programs. How does that help us have a conversation about heart disease, diabetes, exercise, drug abuse, alcohol? It's a statistic. It's not an enticement to have a conversation. Same thing with number six. Same thing with number seven. Same thing with whereas number eight. However, number nine does. Number nine says, health experts point to personal lifestyle choices, and if you wanted to change it to take away that fact that it's the greatest, you could say something like health experts point to personal lifestyle choices as a major indicator of a person's health. You're not then using saying it's the greatest, you're saying it's one of the major indicators. I agree. That's important to the resolution. But using the statistics, in my opinion, doesn't help perpetuate the conversation that you're trying to have, nor does it help create the health pact. But by removing those, it does eliminate the fact that this could be used against us, saying we've already admitted we're doing an inadequate job of addressing these concerns. That's my concern over this issue. My other concern over this issue, quite frankly, I'll delve into politics. If I support this resolution the way it's stated, and a Denali Kid Care bill comes up, or a Senior Citizens Care bill comes up, or some other social services bill comes up, and then I vote against it, are people going to come to me and say, well, you voted against a resolution to fix all those things, and then you voted against the money to do it? It just looks to me like it doesn't accomplish the objective, but it creates obstacles to other things that we need to do. So absent those whereases that are statistical in nature, I support the concept of the resolution. I just have a hard time with those statistical whereases being in there. I don't think they add anything to the intent.
Representative Thede.
Thanks, Madam Chair. And I agree that there's a number of things that, you know, can be stated in a more positive way for getting the conversation going, such as in the second one, instead of saying, whereas state residents continue to rank poorly in rates, if we say, whereas obesity and lack of physical activity can lead to long-term illnesses, then we have something that we're talking about and say, oh, here's a situation we want to do, instead of just saying Alaska ranks poorly compared to other states. And so I would hope that we could look at that. And one of the things in the, there are several others on the back page as well, but one of the things I'd like to ask is whether we have two resolves in 13 through 16 and whether we ought to break that into as a third further resolve, that each Alaska is encouraged to share through various media. We've actually combined two things into one resolve there in that further resolve section.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead and finish.
So anyway, I mean, I think some detailed work should be done on this to make it as effective as we can in going forward.
Okay. You know what I'm going to do? And thank you, Commissioner. I appreciate it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to hold the bill because I think we can make some really good we can do some things that can make this a better resolution than it is right now. So I am going to hold the bill, and with the total intent of working on it a little bit and getting some positive things so that we can do that. And it is my intent to move it if we can get it so that it's positive and it still does what you want it to do. So and anyone on the committee that is interested in giving suggestions and working on it, please let me know. And so I am going to, you know, we do have one person, though, online before we, is Bonnie still online? Bonnie?
Yes.
Bonnie Murphy, would you like to make some comments? You've heard our discussion and what we're thinking about, but I would like to get your comments, and you might be able to give us some more ideas.
Yeah, I was listening to everything you said, and it's all good. I'm not that familiar with how you operate, but the idea of getting people together talking about health care, or their health, I guess, more so than health care, is what I see a lot of, especially with the seniors. And if we could get them talking about positive things rather than negative, I think that would be very good. I think that what I think what this is trying to tell us is that we need to do some preventative type things so that people don't really actually have to be in the states that we see. When you can, you know, give them an idea of how to prevent such and such, whatever that may be, the obesity, the diabetes. And I think that that's an important factor. I know that in my work with seniors.
Bonnie?
Yes?
Why don't you, did you tell us what you do?
Oh, I guess that would be a good idea, huh? I am a fitness professional, and I've been in the fitness business for all the last 25, 30 years. And I, my main focus is with mature women. I was fitness manager at the Anchor Senior Center for 9 years, and so I was very involved with the senior population. I see where this is so wonderful to get people talking about prevention and taking care of themselves and get that going before they get into a state where they can't take care of themselves.
Thank you very much, Bonnie. We appreciate it. And I'm ending testimony on the bill and also our discussion here. We're just going to set the bill aside, and in about a week and a half, we will bring it back up again. So, Representative Roses.
I just wanted to ask a clarifying question. You said that if we had some suggestions as to what we could put on here, is there someone in particular you would want us to present those to? You want us to go to you? Do you want to give them to the bill sponsors? Where would you like us to take those?
Why don't we give them to the bill sponsors and me, the chair, actually my HESA, so that we can, because we'll need to get together then and look at what the recommendations are and see if we can come up with a committee substitute. Representative Fairclough.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was wondering if Commissioner Jackson could turn in. I liked her opening statements on the goal of all Alaskans being healthy, and I'm not getting the exact wordsmithing on that, but I believe she might have that written down as well as her second whereas. And then Representative Rose has actually submitted two that sounded unique and positive, and I believe Representative Seaton had one other one that could take us a long way down the path quickly.
Hey, if you can remember those and jot them down, we would appreciate it.
I can go back and listen to the record.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. We're not ending the committee meeting right now, but we are ending the discussion on this. And anyone that we're done, so anybody that is here with the bill, the committee is going to have some discussion about something else. So thank you very much for coming. First of all, I want to announce that next week, and I'm trying to do this ahead of time enough so that you guys can make other plans, but next week we aren't going to meet on Thursday or Saturday. We just don't have enough bills to, you know, I'm hoping that some more come in from the Senate, but so far we're kind of just kind of in limbo.
Give those dates.
Pardon? The 26th and the 28th. That's Thursday, next Thursday and Saturday. We had planned one for Saturday because I thought we would have lots of bills and we would be, you know. So we will pick up again on I don't know what the date would be for the
31st. Only we're in April, I guess it would be the 1st of May.
Yeah, it'd be the 1st of May. And we definitely, Sharon, that the next meeting that we have, we'll try to hear that bill again. All right.
We have no Hess here.
No Hess on the 26th.
26th
and then, which is Saturday, which we had set aside. But, you know. Now, what I would like to discuss, that the reason I want to have the meeting a little bit right now is because after we get done and don't have much else going on, I would like, I want this committee to be a good working committee that is really going to work at seeing what we can do to make a difference in this state as far as health care. And so I'm open for ideas. What I would like to do, I don't need anything right now, but in the next couple of weeks, I would like you to come up with some ideas. Now, I've got three that I've been working on and with other people and stuff like that. Representative Gruenberg and I have been looking at a way to get doctors that are currently now that aren't taking any more Medicaid patients and Medicare patients, ways to get them to take more patients. Like maybe they would get a tax deduction if they saw so many patients a year or some such thing, or maybe a bigger tax deduction if they saw more than that, you know. I mean, that type of thing. The Hospital Association is also trying to figure out something. So I'd like this, I mean, these are my ideas. The little pharmacies across our state are having, in the little areas, in the little towns, are having trouble because a lot of the state employees, they mail order out of town, and so it really, in the smaller towns, that takes quite a bit of the people. And so anyway, is there any way that we can, some states have said, you know what, they're trying to make it so that the mail order pharmacies have to, I don't know what. Anyway, some states are doing something. I don't even know what they're doing right now. But anyway, transparency in billing it for hospitals. I think we should be thinking about something like that. I would like to come up before next session to come up with some committee bills that are good bills that we can present as a committee and try to get through the House or the legislature. I would like us to see something on alcohol and drugs and see, you know, something. But I mean, those are just some thoughts in my mind, but I'm very open for anything that this committee can work on, and I plan to work in the interim and have this a real committee that is going to be doing some things because we aren't making the progress I think that we should be in this state in health care. And we really need to start doing some things. So we have to think it, we have to work on this so that we come up with something that's doable, that makes sense. You know, even if it was a, insurance, where you take so much money out of somebody's permanent fund dividend, I mean, whatever, you know, I don't even know. I'm just throwing things out. But, so anyway, what are your thoughts? Representative Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In discussions that I've had, you know, certainly thinking about this before today, is discussions, I go to my doctors, ask them, what areas do you feel that we can do to help improve health care? We've had some pretty good discussions going back. Bills that come through the legislature, I typically send, whether it's hygienist or ophthalmologist or optometrist, mm-hmm. I send to them and ask them what their opinions are. Even the proposed changes that were just made, because I sit on Reg Review with Representative Seaton, you know, with the proposed changes to the pharmacies by the pharmaceutical board, I send it to the person who's in charge of pharmacies for one of the larger corporations in the state. So ask them what their opinions are and what we can do. And I think you hit on some things there with the Medicare, Medicaid, pharmacy changes like that. But I like to ask the people who have to deal with it hands-on every day.
It's a good idea.
They have a lot more experience than I do. You know, what can we do to help with this?
And what we could do when we meet in the interim, what we could do is invite certain people to come and speak to us and tell us, you know. So I'm very open for something like that. It's a good idea, Representative Roses.
I guess my question would be, are we not duplicating the services that the Healthcare Strategies Council that the governor put together is doing? It seems to me like we're doing parallel work to what they're doing.
It might be good. Maybe we should put it off of you. Representative Sisson was next.
Oh, thank you. We spent quite a bit of time last summer and last year doing the using health dollars wisely and came up with recommendations. And you know, darn it, I don't remember having seen that. Have we got that?
Yeah.
Because there were some recommendations that came out of a lot of work and a lot of meetings. And I think it would be very handy to look at that and see what out of that could come into play.
Representative Fairclough.
Just to follow up on Representative Rose's, if the committee was meeting, maybe we could have them come and give a presentation to us so that we knew where they were at, because I don't believe that they can accomplish at least the issues that Representative Wilson are talking about without legislative buy-in. That's sort of the issue with the task force on sexual assault. Unless the legislature is really behind a particular issue, mm-hmm. it's probably going to languish because, as Representative Sisna says, if you attach a fiscal note to it, then there's always an argument and a dog in the fight whether it's the right way to go on a particular issue. So, Representative Sisna, I don't think that I was an advocate in the 50s and 60s, but I certainly have been in the 90s, 2000, and I certainly, every day that I get up, want to make a difference in moving forward. And so I wonder whether we could highlight actually the resolution that we're going to all, it appears, to buy into to make it a success. Because I think if people ask good questions about a particular product that's in front of us and are offering positive whereases in this case to make it successful, I'm not trying to at all shy away from being involved in a process that brings a level of awareness to Alaskans of what healthy choices can do for their lives. And I think that that's exactly where you want to go. And it seems like it could be, Representative Wilson, you served on a committee that actually produced results, and you've brought forward some legislation this session that was pointing us in that direction. I don't know if that's generally available to all of us already.
I'll make sure that everybody gets it.
I'm not sure if I've read it personally, I guess is my point. And, you know, would look forward in the interim to helping Alaska be a healthier place to live.
Okay. Representative Seaton?
Yeah, and thanks, Madam Chair. I guess I'm wanting to make sure it's not a process that sits on a shelf.
Right.
I mean, we had the task force, we had the interim meetings, we had those things. And you know, I mean, we had some really finite suggestions that I think probably the starting point is to take the, okay. I mean, since we had an interim committee and we met with the department and we still have the same commissioner who was on board drawing up those recommendations, that it seems like that rather than going back and reinventing the wheel and saying, okay, what do we need to look at in the broad, I would suggest that we take the work that was done and work on implementing it instead of re-studying the study.
Okay, and I tell you what, you will all have that. I think I sent it around once, but we'll make sure everybody on the committee gets it tomorrow. And Representative Faircloth?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm really a nuts and bolts kind of a person, too. I'm not sure if we have some health indicators that we can measure, but before I start on any project, I like to look at some sort of a database that gives you a starting point from, and I know that the state of Alaska inside of Health and Human Services and somewhere we have some health indicators, and I don't know if there's anything that we choose to take on as a committee that actually pushes those indicators so that we can measure success or not, but that's something that's important to me to invest time into actually being able to accomplish something.
And the recommendations that we came up with have it had the end section, was it section A, B, and C?
C, the last section is the details.
I think there's one section anyway that tells you all the list of all the sites and the places and the people that we got all the information from. And so that'll be in there. So you can kind of go through it and look and see what you come up with. Follow up, Representative Faircloth.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just lastly, thank you very much, because I did sign up to be on a softball team, and that tournament is on 4/28. So I want to say that I appreciate, in an effort to be healthy and hopefully not hurt.
I hope you're okay, too. Representative Roses.
Well, this is probably the appropriate place to bring this information forward, because you and I had talked before. I went to a conference in Chicago that was sponsored by NCSL, and it was on healthcare, and it was on health and social services. And I don't think we necessarily need to reinvent the wheel. NCSL will provide us a wealth of information that has been gathered in all the other states and some of the things they're trying to do in revising their healthcare systems. I mean, California just went through a major, major overhaul of how to insure the uninsured. Massachusetts has just done that. Wisconsin is looking at it. Minnesota has done it. Utah has done it. And but probably the most important information in terms of actually seeing some best practices that have taken place over the last couple of years have been in those states where they've tried to downsize the hospitals and try and keep as many people out of the hospitals as possible and go into the regional healthcare centers. Has been a tremendous cost savings, and quite frankly, if you look at the number of deaths that have occurred as a result, more of them occur in hospitals as a result of secondary infections, and simply because of the overstaffing, they don't clean like they used to clean because the people are overworked. I mean, you have nurses that are covering twice as many patients as they used to cover, and so these are some real concerns and issues that they have. Another one, if you take a look at the state of Utah, which has made some major, major changes in the way they deliver health care, and as a result, they've had tremendous savings. I mean, into the billions. And one of the things they did is start a network in dealing with the hospitals in simply describing in great detail the protocols necessary for testing. Because the doctors, many of them will do tests that aren't necessarily called for, but they might be, so therefore they're gonna do it anyway, because some do it because they're trying to protect themselves against a lawsuit. Some do it because the hospital says, you know, this is where we make our big money is doing these things. Insurance pays for it. Why don't we do it? And the problem is, the more tests you run, the more problems that occur because of some of the false positives that result from some of those tests. You then start doing treatment on what you think is a situation that occurs that actually didn't occur, and you would have never done it had you not done the test that wasn't necessary in the first place. So Utah has established very, very strict protocols for testing procedures and when a certain test is appropriate, when a certain test isn't appropriate, and so on. And as a result, they've actually had fewer deaths, have had a tremendous savings in health care, and they've also gone to more of the regional care centers opposed to the larger hospitals, and as a result, they've had considerable savings. So I think rather than us sit around and talk about some of these things, what we maybe ought to do is have, and NCSL is more than happy to come up with their staff and do presentations. They're happy to provide us with the data. And I talked to the physician that was the one in charge of starting this protocol in Utah, and he, at this point, very rarely practices medicine anymore because he's too busy out on the circuit talking to people about how to save dollars in their states on healthcare delivery systems. And so he would be more than happy to work with us. I'm not so sure that he would do it for free, but it certainly would be well worthwhile pursuing it. I have mentioned to the commissioner and to the legislative liaison for the governor that I attended that, and Senator Thomas and I went, and Joe Thomas, and we wanted to wait till we had an opportunity to sit down and get our data and check our notes together and have some conversations with the liaison for the governor's office so that it could provide that information back to the Health Strategies Council so they could incorporate that, and if nothing else, maybe invite some of those people up to participate in how they address some of the healthcare issues so that we're not starting all over again. So that's sort of very, very brief description of what we did over a 3 or 4 day period, but it was in considerably more detail than that, but that's sort of a very quick overview of some of the discussions. But I don't think we need to reinvent the wheel. If we look at certain strategies, we ought to refer to NCSL and find out what's been done in other states and then either replicate it or modify it rather than start from scratch.
Good idea. Good idea. Representative Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And going back a little bit to reinventing the wheel, Representative Fairclough's suggestion of setting benchmarks is, you know, this is certainly not the first resolution that we've seen on health issues. It's not the first bill that we've seen, you know, it goes all the way back to vending machines in schools and health and children. But maybe we think we should maybe take a look at what laws that we passed in the last year or resolutions. What happened to them? What was the outcome? What was the effect? And maybe we can work right with our Ledge Research to go back and have Ledge Research go back and say what bills were come here, and then we can kind of take a look at what worked and what hasn't worked. But there's been a lot of this same stuff that's been come through for the years.
Representative Thissner?
First to follow up with what Representative Newman said, absolutely right, but really in order to do that kind of analysis, you need to set it up at the beginning. And so that you're asking a question, so that you really see an outcome, because it's hard to figure out an outcome on most behavioral things and medical things. You need to know what the condition of the person was to begin with, and it might be a really great idea for us to actually start looking at what requirements there are for assessments of any bill that comes through us. Before it goes through, maybe making sure that gets added in. But the other thing I'd like to mention is that I don't know how many of you have gone to the Health Summit held usually early December every year in Anchorage. And this last year, what they did, because of the concern about healthcare costs, they brought a lot of the people that I've heard at NCSL conferences and had them speak at the Health Summit during one whole last day and really mapped out a number of things in terms of cost containment ideas. And so I would suggest that one of the things, and I'd be happy to do it because I'm on everybody's mailing list, but is that as many of us as possible attend those kinds of things that are in the state of Alaska, because that's a wealth of information in the state of Alaska, of ideas that are percolating, where we would actually get constituency pushing those ideas by adopting them here in the legislature.
Okay. I'll get the recommendations to you all by tomorrow, and you get your thoughts to me, and we're adjourned.